I was pointed to a series of humorous videos on the internet recently. They were surprising, they were interesting, they were funny, they were heartbreaking, they were poignant, and gave me a view into human nature. They were entertaining, and they exposed us, or exposed me, to a spiritual lesson I want to address today. Take note. Most have to do with sports and athletics. I used to be young. I knew how to run, knew how to swim, knew how to jump. I could do some of those things. But these have to deal with water activities, track and field, soccer, football, bicycling, electronic games, all competitive, either one-on-one or teams, or even against the self or against a clock. There is much we can learn from watching and participating in sports, in competitions. There are many spiritual lessons we can glean from the effort and examples of others. Now, those who engage in competition, whether against the self or against others, all engage in similar preliminary activities. We all are, to be successful, we all have the same processes to go through. Let's start in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Here Paul is talking about our way of life is as a race. He gives the analogy of athletics to encourage us to strive for self-mastery so that we may enter into God's kingdom. I know this analogy is easy to give when we talk about this scripture around the time of the Olympics. But it works every day of our lives. 1 Corinthians 9, excuse me, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? I can't imagine what it's like to train for a race for the Olympics, where you have 4 years, you have a date already in mind, and you have to get up to Olympic level, world-class level. And you work day and night for 4 years. And then it gets down to, if you're doing a 100-yard or 100-meter race, it gets down to seconds. 4 years for a race that is done in seconds. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. You see, all of us are in a way of life that running this race, we will obtain the prize. We will obtain the crown. I think the King James says run to obtain the crown. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified or cast away. We have the race of a lifetime, each of us. And it's against ourselves. It's against our human nature. It is against Satan, small s, who wants to prevent us from being in his kingdom. We are in a race. And it is ours to win or to lose. It is ours to win or to lose. We're in a race. And in a race, you can't stand still. The gun goes off, and you're ready, and you just stand there. I'm in a race. Well, they're 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 50, and they disappear. Your competition is gone, but you're in a race. But in a race, you can't stay still. You have to move. You have to be growing. You have to master yourself. You have to run so that you receive the prize. There's an action. You have to run. You have to move. And then there's other discussions about how to do that, but we'll get into that a little later. Run so that you receive the prize, the crown. Hold your place. Let's go to Revelation 3, verse 11. Revelation 3, verse 11. There's a warning. Paul talks about we could be disqualified. He could be disqualified. We're to run in such a way as to remain qualified to run the race and to complete the race. But Revelation 3:11 gives us a warning. He's telling us to run so that we can receive the prize, or in the King James, the old King James, it says the crown. Revelation 3:11 simply states, "Behold, I'm come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." It's possible to lose this race. It's possible to lose the prize. Even as we engage in this race, don't let anyone take your crown. Don't let anyone steal your crown. Don't let anyone lie to you about your crown, cheat you or deceive you out of the crown. Satan, small s, that little booger, he wants to stop you from entering the race. He wants to stop you from completing the race. It's a five-year-old phrase picked up from one of my grandkids. Satan wants to stop you. The idea of running this race and to receive the crown, I want to take you one other space. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Trust me, this is all worth it. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Paul has finished his job. He understands he has done his work. And he continues with the analogy of a race. He continues the analogy of finishing the race. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." This is the crown that's in Revelation 3:11. Don't let anybody take it away from you. "Which is laid up for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Verse 7, let's back up one. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." On a daily basis, we are attacked with distractions. On daily basis, we are attacked with temptations from Satan, small s. On daily basis, we go through trials and difficulties, all which can break us from running this race. We are in a race. We run this race to receive the prize. We need to keep the goal in mind and have focused and energy. If we go back to 1 Corinthians, we're to be temperate or balanced in all things. We are to be spiritually growing. We are to be certain of the direction we're going. He says, I don't flail around with uncertainty. I know where I'm going. You ever seen someone walk into a spider web? You know, they're 100 feet away and they're in a spider web. They start flailing. Looks like they lost their mind. Paul says, don't flail around like that. Know where you're going. And if you're in a spider web, peel it off. It's okay. He says we're to be disciplined. We're to have mind over body. Mind over our bodily appetites. And then he says, so that I practice what I preach, so as not to be disqualified. Paul finished the race. Paul finished the race. There are a number of ways we can miss crossing the finish line. In keeping with the athletic analogy, this YouTube series was entitled Celebrating Too Soon. In fact, I found it interesting. I found it educational. I recommend if you have internet access, go to the YouTube and pull up Celebrating Too Soon. And you will see some of these that I'm going to mention. It's that moment when you think you have won. You haven't crossed the finish line yet, and you start celebrating too soon. How can we miss that mark? How might we fail to complete the race? Well, there's a few ideas and examples I want to share with you. Paul, when writing Timothy, he kept the analogy saying that his time was up. I have finished the race. I have finished the race. What about us? Let's not us forget to finish the race. As Yogi Berra, who's a wonderful linguist, said, it ain't over until it's over. He also said, I never said all the things I said I did. But he said, it ain't over till it's over. Unless we're done, unless we're dead, the race continues. Unless the kingdom is here, we're still running in this race. We're still running. An example, an international speed skating competition in Europe. The leader of the race was from Spain. He had a comfortable lead, and he knew it. And as he came around the final turn, he sees the finish line. And he stops pushing. And his arms go up. He pats himself on the chest. And he gets on one skate, and he's gliding toward the finish line. His competitors see the finish line. They don't see him. They're pushing to the finish line. And at the finish, he loses the race by a skate. He didn't finish the race. He was bested by a fellow from China who powered through the finish line. The fellow from Spain stopped. He pushed far enough. And he coasted. And he lost the race. College football. The Oregon Ducks are playing Utah. Utah is already in the first quarter leading 7-0. There'll be a test. Wilson to Clay. No. But on a long pass, Wilson to Clay. Wilson's the quarterback. Clay is the wide receiver. Catches the ball. Runs 78 yards. Nobody's touching him. And as he crosses the line in celebration, he just kind of poses the ball. Just drops the ball. Well, he dropped the ball on the 1 yard line. The ball goes out of the back of the end zone. And it is now Oregon's ball. Oregon went on to win 51-27. He didn't finish the play. Oh, I'm sorry. I got it backward. On this one, he casually drops the ball on the 1 yard line. He didn't finish the play, but the ball's still alive. Oregon picked it up and ran it back 99 yards for a touchdown. That's what it was. I got it in my notes. He didn't finish the play. But as he crossed the line, he just dropped the ball to pose, like, look at me, how good I am. We're now 14 up. And the referees are standing there. They didn't call touchdown. And the Oregon Ducks realized this. They picked up the ball and ran it the other way for the touchdown. You've got to finish. Once you start, you've got to finish. So if you might think that, well, that's just amateurs. Well, what about the pros? Pittsburgh versus Chicago football. These are pros. Chicago was kicking a field goal. It was blocked by Pittsburgh into the hand of a linebacker. Nobody in front of him. And he races toward the end zone. 73 yards. Too bad at 72 yards, he went to pose and drops the ball. The wrong side of the end zone. All for a touchdown. The nose has to go across the line. Just the nose. And he dropped it 1 yard shy. And the ball did go out of the end zone, Chicago ball. He didn't finish the play. He came up 1 yard short. Paul gives us an example, told to emulate him, told us to follow him as he follows Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave all, did not come up short. Paul said he finished his race. He wasn't done until it was done. Another way of losing this race is not to be watching. Not to be watching ourselves, not to be watching the world around us. I have some examples here. Olympic speed skating, I think it was 5,000 meters. You've got these long arms and long legs, and they take long strides, and they got these big sweeping arms, and you've seen them where they crisscross and they continue on and they push and they push and they push. Well, this one fellow was leading, and when he crossed the finish line, he stopped. Unfortunately, the bell for the final lap took place. And he's coasting. He stopped skating. And the other skater whizzed past him. And then one of the referees or some official said, keep going. And he was leading by about 50 feet, and he lost by 150 feet. Because he wasn't watching. He wasn't listening. He wasn't aware. We need to be aware. International bike race. The world title was on the line. The leader was Andrei Topolik. I don't remember where he's from. And he had a fair lead, though the competition was close. And the lead, you see the sides start to close, and then you see the big banner, and you see the finish line. And when he saw the finish line, he arms went out. He started coasting. I got it. He had another lap to go. And he went from first to fourth place in a fraction of a heartbeat. In a fraction of a heartbeat. He wasn't watching. Didn't keep his mind on things. In Messina, Italy. See, I got a lot of these examples. In Messina, Italy, international bike race. The leader was from Beiran. His name was Luke Pibernick. He had about a 100-yard lead from the pack. The pack was maybe 75 all bunched together. And he was way in the front. And he crosses the finish line and he does that same thing. He pumps his arms and he pounds his chest, fingers up in the air. He also had a lap to go. And he was swallowed up by the pack. And I have no idea where he ended up. But it wasn't first place. It was not first place. He wasn't watching himself. He wasn't watching his surroundings. He was swallowed up. He was swallowed up. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 9. Get some wisdom from God's word. Just before Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes 9:11. Solomon is giving wisdom to us. Verse 10, start there. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Learn to finish. Complete. Don't let up. Don't come up short. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Now, it's very interesting. If you go on the internet, many people have combined two scriptures, and they will say, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but those who endure. And that what they're doing is they're combining a number of scriptures together. So that's just an aside. Aesop's fable is true. You got the tortoise and the hare. You keep plugging away. You keep going. Never leave the race. Don't end up short. Finish the race. Don't allow yourselves to be distracted. We are in God's hands. He allows things in our lives. When it continues on, it says, nor bread to the wise, nor riches of the men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to us all. At no time do we ever leave God's love. Scripture says that. He allows things in our lives. So we go through trials and difficulties. But what he wants us to do is to continue and to endure. We're in a race. How do we run a spiritual race? How do we run a spiritual race so that we obtain the prize? We prepare for the race. We stay in the race. We keep our eye on the end of the race, and we finish the race. This is a way of life. It is a way of life. It is a nonstop. There is no choice in this. Now, in preparing for the race, we do our study. We study. What are we committing to in this way, in this race? We study the goal. We want to know the goal. We want to know if our effort is worth it. We want to know what effort it takes to reach that goal. We want to look at what it means to be a sacrifice. Romans 12:1. We are a living sacrifice to God. We want to commit ourselves. When you run a race, say it's 100 meters, you don't skip toward the finish line. You commit. You put out all your energy. As I want to say, especially in marriage, there's no exit strategy. Once you start this way of life, there's no exit strategy. There's no way you can extract yourself from this way of life and be successful. And of course, then in preparation, we continue to communicate with our Father. We look to Him as our guide and our strength. We prepare for the race. And I had scriptures, but I took them out thinking I didn't have time for those. But, you know, I could probably ask you for scriptures that deal with study and commitment and communication. Because by now you should be teachers. We're then to stay in the race. We're then to stay in the race. To my embarrassment, I was a speed swimmer in college. In my first race in England, was it 50 or 100? I forget, 100 meters. First 50 meters, I blew everyone away. I'm a swimmer. I still swim. Still pretty good. Come to the turn, nobody's at the turn except me. I flip over. I stretch out. I miss the wall by an inch. And I sank. All I had to do was just come up and continue. But what I did was I just hit the water and I quit. I still could have won that race. To this day, I am embarrassed by that. I didn't stay. I didn't endure. Sure, I had a hiccup in this thing. Worst case, I might have gone in second. I had that much of a lead. But I gave up. I quit. We're to endure. We are to never give up means that we give up, that we determine that we're done, that we decide enough's enough. And we are never to give in, which means we have an outside source, a trial, a difficulty, an individual who then forces us or causes us to, I give in. We don't give up and we don't give in. We don't give up and we don't give in. I've told you the story of Florence Chadwick in 1952. She was swimming the Catalina Channel, going from Catalina Island to Palos Verde, 26 miles. And she was in heavy fog, cold water, going through what is known as the Red Triangle, which is part of the breeding ground of the Great White. Surrounded by support ships, she couldn't even see them all. It was so foggy. And at 15 hours, she was, I don't think I can do this. And her mom encouraged her to continue. At 15 hours and 54 minutes, she quit. Less than a mile from shore. And in an interview later, she said, "If I could have seen land, I know I could have made it." Now, with her experience and her success, because she has been swimming all this life, even at 15 hours, she got discouraged and quit. We are to endure. We are to never give up. We are to never give in. 2 months later, knowing she could do it, she broke the 27-year-old record, having swum it in 13 hours, 47 minutes, without a problem. She says, "I know I can do it." I've used the example of Heather Dorrington. She's in a Pac-10 race, four runners at collegiate level, 600 meters, three times around the oval. And at the beginning of the third time around, she stumbles with another race, feet got caught up, and she falls on her face. And the other runners continue. Now the other runners are 75 feet ahead. She picks herself up. What does she do? She runs. She runs and she runs. And you could hear the announcers as they're watching her fly. And they're saying, wow, she may catch up with third. And then the awe, as the crowd starts cheering, she has nothing to lose. And she then takes second place. And then she takes first at the end of the race. She just continued. She never gave up and she never gave in. Sure, she fell on her face. It was a trial. It was a difficulty. You just keep going. That's what we're supposed to do. We are to keep going. Matthew 24:13, you can put this in your notes. It says, we are to endure to the end. And the same will be saved. We are to endure to the end. Yeah. I want to quote it right. Very short scripture. Matthew 24:13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. We're all on the same journey. We're all on the same road. We have different trials and difficulties that we go through. We have health issues. We have employment issues. We have financial issues. We have issues. But all of us on this journey must continue to the end. We must finish the race. We must never give up and we must never give in. I want to read a delightful quote from Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and given to Harrow School in October 29, 1941. He was speaking to his old school where he was a young person. 1941, they're in the midst of the battle with Germany. This is a snippet of his presentation to them. Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in. Except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. He was facing, without any reserves, the entirety of the Luftwaffe that ran rampant over Europe. He was facing an army that had never lost at that point, that outgunned him and outmanned him left, right, and center. And his value was never to give in, never give up. The examples, both in the Bible and in the world around us, are for our benefit to learn whether they succeeded or failed. We learn from them. 1 Corinthians 10. Talking about examples, I think. 1 Corinthians 10:6 even have the heading. It says Old Testament examples. Verse 6. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. These stories, these examples are for us to learn from. Well, the examples I just gave you from real life competition tells us we should not come up short. We need to run the race. We need to finish the race. Don't come up short. Verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. Some of the examples that were written, I'm sure David's going to be a little red-faced to know that his example with Bathsheba's there. Some of the examples can be embarrassing. And yet what we see is the success of David. There's success and there's failures. These examples were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We could come up with the idea that, well, I would not do that. I would not get to the goal line and drop the ball. I would not do this and I would not do that. Take heed for yourself, lest you think you stand and you don't. There is pride involved. There is pride involved. Verse 13, sometimes we think, I'm all alone in this. I've got my trials, my issues, and I don't know how I can do this. In verse 13, no temptation, no trial, no difficulty has overcome you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, tried, difficulty beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And you can see that word bear means to endure. To endure. When we go into trials and difficulties, whether we see the finish line or not, we're to continue the race. We are to continue running the race. 1 Corinthians 13, a few pages over. Actually, a page over for me. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. God is love. That is the nature of God. And what God's love in us, because we have His Spirit, it allows us to endure difficulties and trials. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. It can be hard sometimes where we find ourselves to say, I have to endure. I have to continue. We could look at the book of Job. We could look at what Job went through. God allowed him to lose everything, including his health. And he endured. And during that trial, he learned to see who the real God was. He said in chapter 43, with my eye I saw you. I could recognize you, you're God. But after going through all what he went through, he said, now I know you. Now I know you. The love of God in us helps us to endure all things, to allow us to go through trials and tribulations and difficulties and temptations. It's not easy. It's not easy. Thomas Fuller opined, quote, the invincible determination can accomplish almost anything. And in this lies the great distinction between great men and little men. Invincible determination. The determination that you're going to win and you're not going to be stopped. Was it Edison who found 2,000 ways of not to have a light bulb? When would you stop? After 500? How about 1,000? 1,000 times you tried. But we have light right now in this hall. And it changed the world, because when you have light at nighttime, his light changed the world. 2,000 ways of not creating the light bulb. He did not give in. Calvin Coolidge wrote, and I didn't put down a date. Calvin Coolidge wrote, nothing in the world takes the place of perseverance. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful people with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated failures. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. I thought that was a brilliant statement. Paul gives us the analogy of the race. I've seen individuals who run a race and just give up. There is one in mind that where the individual blew a hamstring. He was in the Olympics. You probably have seen this. It was on YouTube and in the news. He was running in the Olympics. His hamstring blew, and he started hopping. His father races out of the stands and then helps him finish the race. Oh, he had no time to be competitive, but he finished the race. And just before the finish line, his father just let him go, and he hopped across the finish line. Persistence and determination are omnipotent. We are to keep our eye on the race. We're to keep vision around us. Proverbs 29:18. For those who thought that they were finishing the race, but they were one lap shy, Proverbs 29:18 comes to mind. And this is kind of an odd way of relating to it, but Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, or the King James says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The people cast off their restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. If we don't watch what's around us, we will miss it. We will miss the rules. We will miss where we are at. Hosea 4, verse 6. A companion to this. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You're running the race. You've got one lap to go, but you are done. Misapplied or didn't understand the information that you had while you ran that race. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. Finish the race. Finish the race. That is our mandate. That is our job. A race driver by the name of Bjorn Wernheim, Monaco, Formula One Racing, an international race, easily had the lead. There was the finish line in front of him. And just before the finish line was his pit crew. And he slides up to them to congratulate them on a good job. His competitor zoomed past him. He didn't finish the race. Didn't finish the race. The Ironman in Brazil, the leader, within a hop, skip, and a jump of the finish line, stops and is high-fiving the crowd. There's the finish line right there, a few feet away, high-fiving, pumping his fist in the air, yay me, until he hears the steps of his competitor right behind him, and he has to leap in front, almost tackling him, to get the first place. He wasn't finishing the race. He wasn't finishing the race. There's in college track and field, again, Oregon, a runner by the name of Pepio, was leading by about 15, 20 feet. I don't know how long the race was. I didn't see the information on the tube. And as he's running toward the tape, he's starting to slow down and he's cheering the crowd, hey, cheer me on, cheer me on, cheer me on. And boom, his competitor from Washington, a guy named by the name of Merman Simon, beats him by a step. Simon kept the goal in mind. His name is Pierpo, just wanted the accolades and didn't finish the race. Did not finish the race. Romans 8. I guess I was more concerned about the time than I thought. We're going to finish a little early. Which is good. Fellowship is good. Romans 8. Need to flesh that out. There are times when we think, I don't know how I can do this. I don't know how I can continue. It's troublesome. It's so hard. And I don't downplay that at all. I know it can be, and I know it is for some of us. Romans 8, verse 28. My mother-in-law's favorite scripture. We know that all things work together for good. And I've worked on that word all. We talked about the good, the bad, the ugly. We talked about success and failures. We talked about trials and difficulties. We talked about so many things, what that phrase means, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All things work for our good. Even when we're in trials and difficulties, and we learn to care and share over what each of us go through, because we are brothers and sisters. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? What shall we say to all the trials and difficulties we're going through? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, does it matter that I have this trial, this difficulty, this trouble? God is for us, and He never sleeps. There's scripture that says that. He cares for us more than He cares for His creation in that regard, because He knows the hairs on our heads and the bird falls in the ground. He knows everything. He has incredible love for us, so much so that Jesus Christ died for us. He is our Father. We are His children. There is no closer relationship than that. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him for us all? How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? We can win this race if we stay the course, if we endure, if we continue enduring to the end. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The race we're in is a race of a lifetime. The race we're in is a way of life. Who will now separate us? God has given us His Spirit, the Spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. He's opened our minds to the plan that He has for all mankind. He said in Philippians 1, verse 6, that once He started a work in us, He will continue until the time of Christ. Never will He leave us alone, on our own. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril or sword? Is there anything in this world that can separate us from God? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In all things we can finish this race. In all things we can reach the finish line. We can say as Paul did, I have finished the race. For I am persuaded, verse 38, I believe, I'm comforted, I'm confident that neither death nor life, the threat of death or the difficulties in life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, things that are beyond our understanding, beyond our measure of as a human being, nor things present, nor things to come, the things I'm going through, or the worry of things that are out of my control, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're to finish the race. It gets down to that very simple thought. Finish the race. In all that we do, finish the race. In all that we experience, finish the race. In all that we see and hear, finish the race. Don't come up short. The Bible is filled with examples of those who succeeded and those who failed. The world around us has examples as well that we can apply spiritually in our lives. Don't drop the football on the 1 yard line when the goal is just a yard away. Don't start celebrating when you see the finish line in front of you and you haven't crossed it yet. Celebrate after. Don't give up thinking you have finished the race when you still have a lap to go. Because unless you're a spirit being, you're still in the race. You're still in the race. We go through trials and difficulties, temptations and troubles. And God says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He says that we can go through all things and that God is with us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? In everything that we do, in everything that we say, in everything that we experience, it gets down to very simply, finish the race. Hope that was helpful.